reading to you from the 1st John, 4th chapter, and with the 20th verse. If someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he hath seen, cannot love God, whom he hath not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. Energen, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been trying to preach ever since. Oh, my stars, I wish you had been with my wife and I last Sunday at the prison. We had 3 services. I don't know how many people gave their hearts to Christ, but we had a Muslim, a 300-pound Muslim in there. He was a Caucasian, and he said, I got goosebumps all over my arms. I said, well, I would prefer to think they were Holy Spirit bumps, because, my friend, you're wrong. It's Jesus. The book of Quran is a liar, because they tell people to kill all the infidels. And God said, I love the world. Well, anyway, be with you for half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, pour you some iced tea, and lemonade. I've got some lemonade right here in my studio with me. So during this service, I think I might have a little drink. It says drink 3 glasses of lemonade a day. It's good for you. Well, let's see what the Lord has, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 13th chapter of Numbers, and let's begin reading with the 27th verse. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone is spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. In the last part of the verse it said, and we become like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Labeled as conquering giants. Well, the setting of this sermon is on the verge of promise. Moses had led Israel to the edge of the promised land. They had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, and manna from heaven had been provided for their food. Water had flowed from a rock to quench their thirst. Scouts were sent to explore the land and evaluate the strength of the inhabitants. Joshua and Caleb were among the 12 scouts. Caleb is our concern in today's sermon. Well, friends, listen. You remember when God told Moses that he was going to take them to a land that flowed with milk and honey. Well, here we are now, seeing that promise. Now, the result of the scouting mission was mixed. The land was found to be good, truly a land of milk and honey. Oh, friends, listen. I don't know what that means. It must have been a beautiful place. Just like the Garden of Eden was the most beautiful place that the world has ever seen, and yet what marred it? Sin. Friends, sin is prevalent today. Our country has taken God out of our schools, and we've taken God out of our prayers, and we're trying to take in God we trust off of our money. Well, we should, because our money isn't worth a dime. But the thing is, this is truly a promise of God. 10 spies feared the Canaanites because of their number and size. Well, I can understand that, kind of. Sure. Caleb and Joshua advised their people to proceed and conquer Canaan. Aha. Faint hearts prevailed, and Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. Why they wandered so long? Because of unbelief. They even complained one time, "We don't have enough meat." Or God gave them meat, all right. They ate so much quail that they died. Many of them died a terrible death. Well, fast forward to 40 years preparing to enter Canaan. Each tribe must conquer the portion assigned to it. Now, Joshua asked Caleb which part of Canaan he desired for his own. Now, listen to this. The super senior citizen goes against the giants. And I read in, it tells us what Caleb, he was 85 years old. Hell, I'm 84 years old, and I'm still fighting giants. You betcha. You know what? If you think preachers have an easy life, evangelists, I got a flash for you. It isn't all easy. But, oh, my dear friends, would I trade my call to preach for the richest man in the world? Uh-uh. No way, Jose, I'm going to do that. Because I'm the happiest man. You know what? And by the way, I have to stop just for a second and thank each one of you precious, precious people who have been praying for my health and praying for my wife. Oh, listen, when we go to prison, we can feel your prayers. We sure can. Now, I preach 3 different sermons in prison. I don't preach the same sermon over and over because that's a different crowd and it's a different need. I did something the other day I haven't done in my whole life in prison. I've never preached on hell, but I preached on it Sunday, and I don't know how many people came to Christ. See, you can't scare people into heaven. Well, these people were scared to death of these big old giants. We all have giants to conquer. You do and I do. The giant called fear is the opposite of faith. And I read in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because he saw he was a beautiful child and were not afraid to keep the edict. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Well, listen to me. He's right. Faith is sure opposite than fear. Hey, do you know how many fears there is in the world today? A fear of death, a fear of failure, a fear of this, a fear of that, fear of flying, a fear of... My, there's 1,000 fears. And it's wrong. Oh, remember what he said in 14th chapter, John. He said, believe in God, believe also in me. Fear not, for I'm with thee. He's always telling us, fear not, for I'm with thee. Now, remember when Paul was on that ship and it was being battered by that storm, and God told Paul, don't you fear, you just stick with me. Everybody will get off this thing safe. And then after they got on the beach after the ship was broken up, Paul was building a fire and a great big old snake bit his hand and he shook it off. And he didn't die. And all those people thought, wow, this guy's a god. And they fell down their knees and started to worship. Don't do that. He said, I'm a man just like you. Well, okay. So So don't worry no more. It says not to worry. It says in Philippians 4, 6 and 8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Excuse me, I'm going to have a little drink of iced tea. You say, Cecil, that's rude. No, it's not. Haven't you ever seen your pastor have a glass of water in his study or when he's preaching? Why? Because your throat gets dry and you'd have to have a little. Oh, there's nothing like good old lemonade. Tell me about it. Well, the giant anger is a destroyer of futures. You know, I read in Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Friends, let me tell you what. The one thing that I speak about many times in prison is that I tell those men, if you got anger, you got hate in your heart, you are mad at someone, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Confess it. Tell the Lord, help him to help you with it. Now, you know, I've told you many times the years that I carried that hate in my heart for my stepmother, she hated me and I hated her. Terrible, terrible hate, because she beat me and abused me and did all these things to me. Tried to kill me, but God protected me. And if he had not have protected me, I wouldn't be here with you tonight, sure enough. And he's going to protect you, but take care, don't worry. And this anger, get rid of it. It's a destroyer of you. It'll destroy you, not the other guy. If you're mad at somebody else and you won't forgive them, I'll guarantee it's going to hurt you much more than it's going to hurt the person that you don't like. The giant called temptation is an enemy of success. And I read in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithfully, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with a temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Friends, listen, for about 6 months after I was saved, well, I was still smoking. I was convicted and convinced that smoking was a sin, and it is a sin. You say, boy, I mean, are you telling me, Cecil, I can't go to heaven if I'm smoking? Yeah, you can. You'll probably get there quicker than anyone else anyway, because you're going to die of a lung cancer or something. Now, I'm not being facetious. I'm not being funny, but I'm telling you, smoking is a sin. It harms your body. And the Holy Spirit lives in our temple, and we should not destroy it. But anyway, I was so convicted that I couldn't hardly stand it. I would hide my cigarettes under the seat of my car when I went to church. Listen, everybody in that church could smell the tobacco on me. It gets in your clothes, it gets in your hair, it gets in the lining of the headliner of the car. Well, this particular day, well, I should say it was at night, and I was reading my Bible, and a cigarette ash dropped right off in the Bible. And you think I could blow that out of my Bible? I couldn't get it out of there. And you know what it felt like, friends? I felt like I just reached up and slapped God in the face. Oh, it was the most terrible conviction I had ever experienced out of when I was lost. And so I said, Lord God, I can't quit smoking. I've tried everything in the book. But now, Lord, I'm turning it over to you. I can no longer bear this alone. That night, I knew my prayer was answered. Believe me, I didn't understand it, but I knew it. My wife came home and she said, why are you so white? Well, I said, I promised God something. Oh, what'd you promise him? I said, I promised him I'd quit smoking. Well, she said, I'll be praying for you. See, you know, you've been trying for 6 months, and you haven't had much success. I said, I know. But I said, this time I'm very, very serious. Well, the next morning I woke up, and what do you think I desired? A cigarette. Oh, my stars, in the morning I almost had a nip fit. Now, I didn't even eat breakfast. I was so upset. I went to work, went out and was putting on a roof, and it was a nasty, cold, drizzly day, and I never, never, never ever went home for lunch at noon. Never. But this particular day, I decided to go home for lunch. I went into the house, and I tell you, I wanted a cigarette so bad I could have died. I was walking to the living room and the kitchen where my wife was, and I said, Lord, I can't bear it anymore. I have to have a cigarette. This is the scripture he gave me. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape, else also that you may be able to endure it. And I said, Father, I claim that in Jesus' name. You know what? God delivered me that day from tobacco. He certainly did. I take that back. One time, just one time, I desired. I didn't do it. I didn't yield, but I desired. My wife and I was in a restaurant having lunch, and somebody was smoking a little Red Dot cigar somewhere, and that's before you didn't have to quit smoking in buildings. I thought I'd go crazy. I said, we got to get out of here. Oh, I was tempted. But he said, it won't overtake you. It's common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond. See, I thought I couldn't understand it, but he said, I'll give you an escape. Well, listen. Caleb refused to tremble before those formidable enemies. He expected to conquer all these giants. He knew he had the power to win. So did little David when he took on Goliath. A little lad, just a teenage boy. And nobody in God's army would challenge that big 9-foot giant. Little David said, I'll take him on. Just let me have some of the action. And they tried to put an armor on him, which he said, I'd never tried and I can't do, can't use. Now, David didn't have confidence in his ability to run that sling. He had confidence because he'd already slain a bear by hand. He'd also slain a lion. And he was depending on who? God Almighty. God was the one that was directing his steps. He went down and picked up 5 smooth stones. And he went up there, and that giant was just hysterical. Sending a little boy out would have tried to kill a giant. But he got killed. David won the battle. Well, we have the power to win over sin. And listen, friends, sin is real. If you don't think so, just go down Skid Row, go down these bars and dance halls and theaters. And there's a lot of sin. Go to Las Vegas. You want to see sin, it's best. It's there. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome, to win these wars. Well, where would this super senior get his strength? Well, I read in Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we shall by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. Thank God. Thank God for Caleb. You know, we could look at that and say, well, we could be a Caleb. The Lord's strength would take the place of Caleb's weakness. And the Lord, he knew, was bigger than any giant. Listen, friends, you know we Christians have the most power in the whole world. We have the privilege, day and night, to call upon the Lord. Anytime we want to talk to Him, and I've said before, there is no busy signal between you and heaven. God will hear your prayer, your supplication. He looked down into Egypt and saw those poor people suffering, and He took compassion on them, sent Moses down to deliver them to this place that Caleb was taking them. Well, God's faithfulness reminded Caleb He would not fail. Oh, friends, listen. What is God asking you to do today? He's got a job for every born-again Christian. Now, if you're lost today, He's got His first thing is to save you. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. But, you know, Christian brothers and sisters, He's got a job for you. He sure does. And He loves you. You say, Cecil, I don't have any money. You don't have to have money to serve God. If you got breath in your lungs, got shoes on your feet, know John 3:16, and you're born again, you're got enough ammunition. Oh, I know these seminaries, and oh, you got to have seminary. Oh, yeah, I got to buy a Bible college. No, you don't. Of course, it's good if you can go. But what you need is the power of God's Holy Spirit. We can get strength enough to conquer our giants. So I don't know what your giant is today, but He'll give you the strength if you call upon Him. Jesus conquered our enemies at the cross. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He took your sins and my sins on Him, though He was sinless. Now He becomes sin that He could pay the debt. And Christ could come off that cross and go home to be with the right hand of the Father right now. God is bigger than all our fears and temptations. Victory awaits all who surrender completely. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you're holding back something. Maybe you ought to surrender your life tonight. You know what? There might be someone listening tonight who God's calling to be a missionary. God's calling to be a deacon. God's calling to be a Sunday school teacher. Or maybe an organist or a pianist. But I'll tell you right now, you surrender and you'd be surprised what He can do for you. Oh, yes. I've wanted to play the organ ever since I was 5 years old. And the old theater there in the Dalles, yes, sir, they used to have that old organ and the talkless movies. And that woman would play that organ in halftime and during the, not halftime, but anyway. And so I told my mom one time, I said, Mom, I want to play the organ. Oh, she said, honey, only, and that was true, only rich people and doctors can afford organists. But you know what? God honored that. I can play the organ now. Never took a music lesson in my life. But I play for Jesus. And oh, I enjoy that. There'd be times I'll be kind of down the dumps, you know. And I'll go in there and sit down on the organ and I'll play for the Lord. And it's a joy. Well, our conquering King leads His own to victory. Who will submit to the conquering one today? Let me ask you, friend. Are you born again? You say, Cecil? I don't think so. Well, the Bible said this is written that you may know that you're passing death and life. So it's a no-so situation. It's not I hope I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because I surrendered my life as a dirty old alcoholic, cried out for God to be merciful to me, a sinner, and He saved me and delivered me from alcoholism to His name. God, praise You, Lord. Oh, I thank You. But anyway, you say, well, Cease, I don't know Him, but I want to know Him. Can I know Him tonight? Sure you can. You feel a little old tugging at your heart tonight? If you do, won't you bow your head at me right now and pray this powerful, powerful prayer. But don't pray it unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins, Lord. And tonight I'm opening my heart and receiving You as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Christian friend of mine, if you prayed that prayer or a lost man prayed that, call me. 303-471-8534. Not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Christian, if you're not surrendered, maybe you're not conquering the giants. But today, if you surrender, you can do that. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. For the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I thank you for listening tonight. I covet your prayers for me and my wife as we go to prisons that we might lead many, many to Christ. Oh, I tell you, I want to lead that big old 300-pound Muslim to Christ. He's like a little teddy bear, but he was misinformed. There's a lot of people out there misinformed. Christians, if you're not living your life for Christ, you won't be a witness. People say, well, there's a hypocrite in that church. Well, there's a lot of hypocrites in the churches. Oh, yes, there is. But not everybody in that church is a hypocrite, I'll guarantee you. Well, friends, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.